18th chapter of Jeremiah. I'm moving quite along in this book. We're in one of the more familiar parts of the book where he's talking about the potter and the clay. So I'm going to go back and read a few verses. Jeremiah 18, verse 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. And then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. One thing Jeremiah does a lot, he uses these, and God has him use these visual concepts of certain things. And here, he's using the idea of God being the potter and molding the clay into what he wants. And just like this potter sees an imperfection in the clay, what does he do? He starts all over. And of course, this is going to refer to God working with Israel, and Israel, of course, having the imperfection specifically of idolatry, and starting over with them. And when they, and of course, they're very soon going to be going into Babylonian captivity for 70 years. And when they come out, in many ways, they're going to be a better Israel. God has shaped them. So it's a very apt analogy. Of course, the difference between people and clay is that people can choose not to be molded the way the potter wants to mold them. And that's the way it is with us and Israel. You know, if we don't want to be molded into the type of person God wants us to be, we don't have to be. We have free will. We have, you know, the ability to choose to do whatever we want to do. So much of it depends upon our attitude. Do we want God to mold us, or do we not want God to mold us? So he goes on in verse 5, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. And of course, and I think Skip mentioned last week, the people of Nineveh was a perfect example of this. Jonah was commissioned by God to go to this, and they were evil people. I mean, Nineveh, the city of Nineveh, the people of Nineveh were known as evil people. And so God had evil intentions for them. But what happened? They actually repented at the preaching of Jonah. And so God took away, if you will, what he was going to do to them. Like he says, I will relent. So it all depends upon people's response. You know, it's the condition of their heart, their mind, their spirit. Are they going to listen to what God desires of them, or are they not? And, of course, there's many, many, many examples of that in the Bible with Israel and Judah and other nations and so forth. So when God makes, or when the Bible makes these prophecies about this nation, this people, that people, you know, it's conditioned upon what those people will do. You know, will they listen to the message or won't they listen to the message? All right, now therefore speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now every one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. Here he's telling them, this is what, Jeremiah, you tell the people of Judah, you tell the people in Jerusalem, say, God is making a plan for you. He says, devising a plan. And he says, but you have the option of repenting. Return now everyone from his evil way. So they had been so involved in idolatry for so many years that it was entrenched in them. But God said, even though I've got this plan for you, if you will repent, if you will turn and change and start doing good instead of evil, then the outcome can be different. So he says, and then the response is, and they said, verse 12, in other words, Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem said, that is hopeless. Now that just shows how far gone they were. You know, God says, if you'll change from doing evil and do good, I'm going to relent. And the people said, that isn't going to happen. We're not going to change that. What you want, God, is just hopeless. Isn't possible. So that shows how bad a shape. That just shows their mood, their attitude, their spirit. They were basically saying, we're not going to change. You know, we like it like we have it. And just think about how America is like that in so many ways. You know, they don't want anybody to say that what they're doing is wrong. They want to have the freedom to do whatever they want and have no consequences. They want all these things. And so it is so similar to what the people were doing back at this. This is about 600 years before Christ. And the people were saying, we don't want to change. We don't have any desire to change. We will walk according to our own plans. In other words, we're going to do whatever we want to do regardless. And we will everyone obey the dictates of his evil heart. Now that, in a nutshell, describes the extent of how idolatry and sin was so entrenched in their heart and their attitude. We're not going to change. Don't tell us what we're doing is wrong. We're not going to stop what we're doing. We're not going to start doing what you think is good. We're not going to do it at all. And just think about the direction that our country has been going in the past few years. I mean, that's exactly the direction we've been going. Nothing is wrong anymore. The only people that are wrong are the people who are saying these things are wrong. So don't tell us, you know, the bad people are the ones that saying these things are wrong. Those are the bad people. Those are the people you need to get rid of. We should be able to do anything we want. Marry anybody we want. Do anything we want. See, that's exactly how Israel, that was what they were saying. We're going to follow the dictates of our heart. Whatever we want to do, we're going to do, and that's just the way it is. And we think it's right. And of course, what was ahead for these people was horrendous. But they had a chance to change things. That was what was important. They had a chance to change. God was giving them an opportunity and had given them tons of opportunities to change and to do what was right. God says, if you'll just repent, turn from your evil ways, come back to doing what's right, then these things that Jeremiah's been telling you is going to happen, God says, I can keep them from happening. But God says it all depends upon you. All depends on your attitude and your heart and your obedience. but they just wanted to do what they wanted to do. So, verse 13, therefore, thus says the Lord. So after the people are responding that they're going to do whatever, ask now among the Gentiles, who's heard such things? The virgin of Israel has done a very horrible thing. And that's what Israel had done. She had done a very horrible thing. And what was horrible was that even if you looked in the nations around Israel, you know, the Edomites and Ammonites and those people, they were faithful to their gods. Now, their gods were false gods, but I mean, they were faithful to their gods. Whereas Israel here wasn't being faithful to their God. So in many ways, Jeremiah is telling them, you're worse than the pagan nations around, because they're at least faithful to their idols, but you're not. Will a man leave the snow water of Lebanon, which comes from the rock of the field? Will the cold flowing waters be forsaken for strange waters? Of course, those people at the time would know what he was talking about. The mountains of Lebanon were the natural course for the mountains of Lebanon. They had snow at the top year round, and that's what the way it was all the time. That was the natural course of things. And then, of course, the cold water from the snow would come, like he says, flowing down the mountains. It says, even, if you will, the natural things in the world did what they were supposed to. But he says, you're not. You're not even following the natural course. You're not doing what you should do. You're not following at all. So, you know, the snow on the top of the mountains never left. It was there year round. The waters would keep flowing down year-round. But Israel, they weren't. They weren't doing what they should be doing. And that's what he's trying to get them to understand.
Bobby,
yes.
Wasn't Molech one of the false gods?
Uh-huh, yes.
Worshiping in this period?
Uh-huh.
Just awful.
Oh, one of the worst.
They called, some of them called him Shemosh.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, one of the worst.
It was the worst.
Yeah, it was just amazing how far God's people had gotten into idolatry. And they saw the gods from different, you know, countries around them. And
Molech worship, they sacrificed their firstborn sons.
Mm-hmm. Sacrificed children.
By burning them to death.
Yeah. They would do it, actually do it. And, you know, some ways our country is just as bad as they were at the, you know, at that time.
About abortion.
Yeah. It's really, people in our country can't talk about how horrible the people were there because, you know, in a lot of ways we're just as bad. Just as bad. So he goes on, he says, because my people have forgotten me. They forgot me. They have burned incense to worthless idols. Any worship offered to any type of idol or false god besides Jehovah is worthless. Absolutely worthless. They've caused themselves to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in pathways and not on a highway. Not on a highway. They had been... And we talked about this before back in Jeremiah, I think it's the 6th chapter, where he talks about they have forsaken the old paths. And that's what he's saying again here. They have forsaken, they've left behind the paths that they were to follow. The paths of righteousness, the paths of holiness, and so forth. They have stumbled from the ancient paths. There was... and always has been a pathway that God wants His people to walk on and to follow. Still is today. Jesus calls it the narrow way. There's always been this pathway that He's wanted people to follow. Regardless of the time and the dispensation that that people lived under. There was always a way that he wanted them to walk. These people had left that way. They had left that way. And he says in verse 16, to make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing. Everyone who passes by it will be astonished and shake his head. Go by and look, and of course that's what, you know, after the destruction of Jerusalem and the land and the killing, and people would, from you know, outside Israel, they would go by and shake their head. Look at the desolation, and look at how this beautiful city has been turned into just, you know, it's just destroyed. He says, I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. This desolation, this destruction was all because they were abandoning God. They were abandoning God, and that's why God was going to do it. In the day of their calamity, day of their destruction, the day of their desolation. So he says, then they said, come and let us devise plans against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us attack him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. This is so typical of how people respond. So typical. Any Christian, any person that's following God that tells people in the world the truth, what the Word of God says, are going to make enemies. And that's what he says is happening here. Jeremiah is making enemies because he's telling them the truth. He's telling them the truth.
He's being politically incorrect.
He is very incorrect here. Very politically incorrect. But when you do that, not everyone's going to like you. You're going to have enemies. And Jeremiah is getting piles of them. Because the people are responding, let's devise plans against Jeremiah. We don't like what he's saying. We're not going to change, so let's just get rid of him. Let's get rid of the source of our irritation. He's annoying us. He's irritating us, so let's just get rid of the source. And they said, for the law shall not perish from the priest. And there were, you know, like three groups of people, if you will, during the time of the law of Moses that had the responsibility of teaching the people, telling the people what God wants. And that was the wise men, the priests, and the prophets. And they all had functions. But these people, the priests and the prophets and the wise men, were not telling Israel the truth. They were just telling Israel what Israel wanted to hear. And so the people were responding, we're going to listen to the priests and the prophets because we like what they're saying. And that's so much like people today. That's why people like Billy Graham got 80 and 100,000 people to come to his stadium revivals. They liked what he said. Yeah, just a huge list. Okay. See, but if you do that, so this is something that's old. This has been going on for thousands of years. The people that tell others what they want to hear are going to get huge people, numbers of people following them. Jeremiah was out by himself, basically. Jeremiah was telling the people exactly what they needed to do and what was going to happen if they didn't. The people didn't like that, so they were going to come up with some way to, in this case, at first, they're going to slander him and lie about him and so forth. Later, they're going to put him in prison and shackles and stuff, but that's later on. So, that was their response. Let's attack him with the tongue. And let us not give heed to any of his words. So this has been going on for centuries. People who tell others the truth about God and His Word and about the church and about salvation are never going to be popular. Never going to be popular. They're always going to be in the tiny minority. But that's the way it's always been. It's always been that way. And I assume it always will be until the end of time. But it was certainly true in Jeremiah's time. People were not going to listen to him because he was pointing out what was wrong. But he was doing that. Remember, all of these chapters leading up to it, it revealed how much he loved his people. And that's why he was doing it, because he wanted them to turn, because he didn't want them to go into slavery, to be killed in Jerusalem, to have the temple destroyed. He didn't want any of those things to happen. So he was telling people what they needed to do to keep that from happening. But the people simply responded, not going to listen. Just not going to do it. And I suppose that's our time is about up. It's probably a good place to stop. But these lessons, even though they're 2,600 years old, are so relevant to our world, our country, our culture. And I suppose they always will be.